Well, I'm not sure if this has been your experience, but for many people, their initial concept of God, how he works and who he is often based on their experiences as a child with their own parents. And what I mean is this, if a parent is kind and loving, a child will think of God as being kind and loving. If a parent is quick to forgive, it makes it easier for a child to understand that God is quick to forgive. And that's a good thing. But there's also a danger, and it is this. Besides the fact that as parents we can fail at times, but the danger is, as a child, let me give you an example. As a child, I learned early on in my life that no matter what I did, my parents would love me and forgive me. And that's a good thing. I tested them a few times on that one. And I carried that over to God. I believed that no matter what I did, God would forgive me because he loves me if I was sorry. That's how it worked, right? You know, your kid comes along, I'm sorry, okay. And God will forgive us when we repent of our sins. But here's the danger. The danger is that somewhere in the back of my mind, I'm not even sure if it was intentionally or unintentionally, I would take advantage of that knowledge. Have you ever done that? I knew that if I did something wrong, all I needed to do was ask for forgiveness, and everything would be all right again. It worked with my parents. Why shouldn't it work with God? And that's how my young mind worked. I learned to work the system. When I did wrong, if I prayed and I asked for forgiveness, I would be forgiven, just as the Bible says I would be. And you go through this again and again, almost to the point where God is obligated to forgive me because I'm sorry. And here's where we run into problems. When we begin to assume that God is obligated to forgive us, we've gone into some dangerous ground. When we begin to excuse our behavior or our thoughts, even before we engage in it, knowing that God is a great guy and he's going to forgive me anyway, well, we're walking on very thin ice. Now, I'm not talking about the person who doesn't know Jesus. I'm talking about the person who's a follower of Christ. And when we consistently make choices that we know are contrary to God's plan, God still loves us, I understand that, but we are on dangerous ground. Now, I understand there are many things that we struggle with. I'm not talking about that. I get it that sometimes we get confused or tempted, and we even fall flat on our faces. We get caught in sin, as Scripture says. I get that. That's all what I'm talking about. But there are situations when we know, nobody has to tell us, we know it is not right, and we know that, well, I'll just ask God to forgive me later on. It'll turn out okay in the end, and we continue to pursue that. And when we are there, that's where we are on dangerous ground, as I've said. We somehow convince ourselves it'll be all right. It'll be okay in the end. Here's one person's confession. This is what this person wrote. Growing up, I understood that God loved me and that he sent Jesus to die for me. I understood that as a result of what he did, I was supposed to stop doing bad things and only do good things. But if I did bad things, it would be okay because God would forgive me. I presumed that God would always forgive me no matter how sinfully I lived. I could live as I wanted, ask God for forgiveness later, and be assured of my salvation. In essence, what I thought I had was a license to get away with all the fun stuff and still get into heaven. In my arrogance, I presumed that God needed to forgive me since I was following the system. Sin, pray for forgiveness, be forgiven, repeat. Later, I realized that this understanding of God's grace was incongruent with the gospel message, as it cheapened God's grace and took God for granted. You remember last week, I mentioned a passage from Jeremiah chapter 7, and that's what the people there were doing. It had to do with the people who were taking comfort in the fact that, well, they were in the temple of the Lord. Didn't matter. Didn't matter what they did outside or elsewhere or any other time. They were in the temple. They were safe. And yet, Jeremiah 7 makes it clear their lives were far from honoring God. They presumed on God's grace. That's what we're talking about this morning. Presuming on God's grace. Like, oh, well, it's okay. And yet in Jeremiah 7 and elsewhere in the scriptures, God would have nothing to do with it. And he called them out. In the New Testament, the people even went a step further, believing that they were somehow doing God a service when they intentionally chose to sin, because the more they sinned, the more God's grace would abound. Greater chance for God to show his grace and his love. Talk about twisted thinking. Here's what Paul had to say about that in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. He says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means," some versions say, "God forbid. How can we who died to sin live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. We can't presume on God's grace. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he called it cheap grace. Today we would call it trying to take advantage of God. And not surprisingly, Scripture has much to say about it. Another passage in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 26 and on. This is what the writer in Hebrews says. He says, "If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone who deserves to be punished, who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, friends, I know that that isn't a very uplifting passage of scripture to read. But I want to say, I don't want you to misunderstand. If you are truly struggling and wanting and trying to walk with the Lord, and you find yourself falling short here or there, but you get up and you turn to God and you repent, that scripture in Hebrews isn't talking about you. When we repent, God will forgive us. Doesn't matter what, doesn't matter when, he will remove our sin. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, he will make us a new creation. The old is gone. He gives us a new heart. We become children of God. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. He loves us. But that passage in Hebrews is essentially saying that God isn't going to play games with us either. If we keep on doing deliberately what we know God says not to, if we embrace what God says we should abstain from, and we think, well, God will forgive me anyway, we're kidding ourselves. Numbers chapter 32, verse 23 says, be sure your sins will find you out. It's true. It always comes out, sooner or later. The Bible also says in Galatians 6, do not be deceived. A man cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And that's what we've been talking about. We cannot try to take advantage of God's grace. Well, we can try, I suppose, but it's not going to work very well. We deceive ourselves. God calls us to be set apart from sin. And I understand we are all sinners by nature, and we are sinners by choice. But the last thing God wants for us is to get comfortable in our sin. He calls us to be separate from it. One of the Bible verses we taught our kids early on when they were wee little things, from 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Beautiful verse. We especially like the part where it says he will forgive us our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. We need to hear that. But there is more. God not only forgives us our sins, he wants to purify us from all unrighteousness. He wants to take us as far as possible away from sin. He wants to give us a new heart, a clean heart. And the truth is, while we don't exactly want to embrace sin because, well, we know it's not right, we don't exactly try very hard to get as far away from it as we can either. We kind of want to flirt with it. We don't want to get caught in it. No. But it doesn't hurt to do a bit of window shopping either. And so we try to walk a fine line. And the problem is, the longer we hang around sin in our lives, the more complacent we become towards it. And we figure that maybe God will forgive us anyway. Or maybe we figure that, well, we're better than most people out there. I'm not as bad as so many. Maybe we figure that, well, I do more good than I do wrong. As long as the good outweighs the bad. Or maybe I'll just get it sorted out later on. And we don't understand the danger we are in. And that's really all I'm trying to share this morning. We need to be careful. We need to walk with our eyes open. We need to be alert. Paul writes to Timothy. He says, "You, man of God, flee from all this, all the ungodliness. Flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." And then again a little later he writes, "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with all those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." You know, there's intensity in that word he uses, flee. He's saying, get away from that. Don't flirt with it. Have nothing to do with it. Truth is, we'll convince ourselves. If we think about it long enough and hard enough, we'll convince ourselves there's a way to embrace something that we know should not be part of our lives. There is a better way. It's not an easy way, but it's the better way. It's the way of godliness. It's the way that stands against sin. It's the way that is narrow. And Jesus said, few find it. But it's God's way. We have a choice to make. Which way are we going to go? Many years ago, Joshua was standing before the people of Israel and he challenged them to choose which way they're going to go. Maybe you've been struggling with that yourself. Or maybe you've never made that choice for yourself. Maybe your parents made it for you. Maybe you've gone to church because it was the thing to do. Maybe you're just learning. Maybe you do know Jesus. You want to follow him, but you don't exactly want to go all out. You know, you don't want to be one of these extreme people. Maybe you've convinced yourself that, well, a little sin won't hurt. There's time. Friends, the message I want to share this morning is simply this. Let us be careful not to presume on God's grace. His love is there. He does love us more than anything. When we are truly repentant, God will forgive us time and time again. But make no mistake, we can't play games with God either. There is a cost involved in following the Lord. He calls us to be holy and faithful. But there is also a cost for doing things our way. And it's a terrible cost. The choice is yours. The choice is ours. Who will we choose? Who will we follow? Many times in the scripture, people assumed that it'll be okay. And it wasn't. And they paid a price. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to threaten or anything like that. I'm just trying to say, let's have our eyes open. Let's have our hearts open. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and says, hey, Norman, what about this in your life? How does that fit in? We need to stand up and take notice and pay attention. Because the enemy would just lull us to sleep and have us convinced that everything's okay and it'll be all right in the end. And it's not. Not unless we truly come and follow Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do come before you this morning. And Lord, you know our hearts. You know where we are at. You know what we struggle with. You know what we have not even tried to struggle with, but maybe even embraced. And I pray, Father God, that for each one of us, Lord, that you would speak to us. That we would come to that place, Lord God, where we would give it up, give it all up for you. And embrace the narrow way. Embrace the way that leads to life. And say no to the things of the world and the ways of the world that would cause us to stumble and fall and get caught in sin. Lord God, I pray that for each one of us here this morning that you would just bring your Holy Spirit upon us. Even now, Lord God. And Father, if there is one or more persons who you are speaking to this morning, right now even, I pray, Father God, that in their heart they may be able to come to you and say, Lord Jesus, I know that the choices that I've made have been wrong. God, help me to turn from that. Help me by your grace to change, to allow your Spirit to change me. And Lord God, I thank you for your love that would not let me go, that is still there to hold me even now. And Lord, I pray that by your grace, by your love, Lord, that we would be a people who would follow you with all our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.